Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 10. Page 342. In your pew Bibles, page 342, I'd like to take a moment to remind you, brothers and sisters, of your offerings of love to the Lord today, first for our general fund, and secondly for the work of our deacons, and thirdly a thank offering for word and deed. So first for general fund, then the deacons, and word and deed. And there are boxes for them in the back. And also, if you're at home and cannot be here, then to please send your gifts in another way. But may the Lord honor his name and extend his kingdom through the thank offerings of his people. 1 Kings 10, verses 1 through 13, a visit that took place a long time ago. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. Wouldn't you love to have discussions with somebody so wise? And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. And she said to the king, "The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. But I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpass the report that I heard. Happy are your men. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he has made you king, that you may execute justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the queen of Sheba gave to the king of King Solomon. Moreover, the fleet of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought from Ophir a very great amount of almug wood and precious stones. And the king made of the almug wood supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also lyres and harps for the singers. No such almug wood has come or been seen to this day. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked. Besides what was given her by the bounty of King Solomon, she turned and went back to her own land with her servants. Well, may God bless this good word to our hearts and minds, brothers and sisters. Dear congregation of Jesus Christ, in this passage, God's King overwhelm the Queen of Sheba with his wisdom and beauty and glory. Overwhelmed her that there was no more breath in her. It literally means he took her breath away. And when you realize that Solomon is a type and a picture of Jesus, the message to us is that when you turn to Jesus for wisdom, in whatever situation of life, whatever perplexity, confusion, doubt, trouble, fear you have, He will answer you and take your breath away with His good news for your life. He'll take your breath away. And there's nothing too hard for the Lord to deal with. There's nothing too hard for Solomon to deal with in the queen's life. Jesus is much greater. There's nothing too hard for the Lord Jesus to deal with in your life. Isn't that good news? And that's the good news we hear in this passage today. He took her breath away. First, how the queen came to a famous king, and how she saw, heard and saw amazing wisdom, and how she praised the loving God. She traveled at least 1,000 miles by camel to listen to Solomon. Now that's thirst for truth, isn't it? Today, would you see a head of state travel 1,000 miles by car, let alone by camel? No, only by jet. But here she is, the Queen of Sheba. Sheba's likely South Arabia, what we call Yemen today, about 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem. She's absolutely serious about finding the truth, isn't she? She's absolutely serious about solving the questions of her life. To travel 1,000 miles by camel across some of the hottest terrain, desert terrain in the world. And as far as we know, no air conditioning. I'm sure the servants, though, were very busy fanning this lady. It's amazing. It's so amazing that 950 years later, Jesus talked about this. Here was Jesus, greater than Solomon, bringing life-saving, life-satisfying, life-changing, life-exalting truth to his own people, Israel. They turned on him. He's got a demon. We don't like this stuff. And Jesus said to them, "Do you realize that the Queen of Sheba came from the uttermost parts of the earth to listen to King Solomon, and now a greater than Solomon is here? She's going to rise and condemn you on the judgment day because she came from so far to hear the wisdom of the Lord, and you're right next door and you're not even interested. You can't even come 2 miles by car, 10 miles by car." And that's what Jesus is saying here. Someone greater than Solomon has come. She came. She came because she heard of his fame. Look again at verses 1 and 2. "When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind." She came to see his fame, but notice what his fame was all about. It was a fame about the Lord's name. She heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. This Solomon has a God who has given him wisdom that I can't find anywhere in all the wise men on the earth. I've got to go. 1,000 miles or no, I've got to go. It was the name of the Lord upon him. And she knew that. And Solomon must have testified to that, like Joseph saying to Pharaoh, I don't have the power to interpret dreams, but God gives me wisdom. God gives me revelation. Solomon must have been saying that. This is our Lord, the covenant God, who has showed favor to Israel by taking us out of Egypt, rescuing us from slavery and bringing us to this land. It's our God, the covenant Lord, the great I am. That's what the name Lord in capital letters means. I am who I am. The God who comes down and visits his people in need and lifts them up and redeems them. It's this God. Well, then she says, I want to meet you so that through you I can meet your God. And that's the way we as God's people, God's church today, should attract people from the ends of the earth to come and hear what we have to say. Not because we're so smart or wise, but we've got the word of our God. We've got the Savior living in our midst. We have his truth. So she and others saw in this king a divine supernatural wisdom, a heavenly wisdom that was different from all other wisdom and all other wise men in the earth. Listen to a couple of verses in 1 Kings 10, first of all. If you just move ahead to verses 23 and 24. 1 Kings 10, 23 and 24. Thus King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. And the whole earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put into his mind. And then if you look back a few chapters, 1 Kings 4, 29 and 30, a few chapters back, hear again that this fame of Solomon was a fame concerning the name of the Lord. 1 Kings 4, verse 29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind like the sand and the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. And then verse 34, and people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. That's why he was famous. God's supernatural wisdom was living in this man. And she wanted to meet Solomon's God. And she didn't come because she was curious, as some say. She didn't come to trick him or catch him in his words, as others say. Because we read in verse 2 that when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And that word mind is actually heart. All that was on her heart. She had heart-pressing problems, deep issues of life. She poured out her heart. I've got so many things that I need to know about, that I need the answers to. I've got big questions that need big answers. I've got big issues that need big wisdom. Oh, King, that's why I'm here. And here's this lady. She's powerful, she's wealthy, she's educated, and yet she's saying, to the deepest questions of life, I don't have the answers. I'm empty. I need the Lord. I need your God, Solomon. People of God, without knowing the true God, you can never know the truth. Without knowing the true God, you can never know the truth, no matter what nation you're from, no matter how close you are to the covenant or how far away. That's why she wants to meet the Lord's ambassador. And so she came 1,000 miles on camel to try the God of Israel and see if he could fill her hungry soul and quiet her troubled conscience and heart. And as we see her coming to Solomon in Jerusalem, we have to see the bigger picture. Solomon's on Jesus' throne. This is the Messiah's throne. And he's preparing himself to come and sit on it. First through types and shadows in the old covenant. But in the fullness of time, Jesus himself will come to save his people from their sins. He's a great king. To die for us and rise. And now he's on this throne in the heavenly Jerusalem. And he's the place that all nations are going to for wisdom. Jesus is God's wisdom. Solomon had Jesus' name living in him. Let us come. Not to Solomon in earthly Jerusalem, but the greater than Solomon in heavenly Jerusalem. He comes to us through the ministry of his church in his word. If she can come 1,000 miles by camel, how eager, how thirsty are we? How desirous? How much do we crave the pure spiritual milk of the word that will come a few miles? Thank God when he puts that hunger and thirst and that desire in us. May that grow in each one. Secondly, she heard and saw the king's amazing wisdom. Look at verse 3, and Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. Again, this is amazing. 4, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, she saw the wisdom in what? The house he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attendance of his servants, their clothing. She saw God's wisdom in their clothing, in his cupbearers, and in his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord. There was no more breath in her. She fainted. He took her breath away. Again, think about that. He answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from this man. And it's not Solomon. It's not the strength of his own mind. It's the name of the Lord living in Solomon, the wisdom God gave him. It's the Spirit of Jesus. That's what gave him this unusual heavenly wisdom to answer all her questions. She put everything in front of him. You can just imagine what that might be. The problem of evil, the problem of sin. Why do people have to suffer? Why is there sickness? Why is there sorrow? Why is there abuse? Why is there injustice? Why are there weeds? Why are there viruses? How did we get here? Why am I on this earth? Why is there death? How do we defeat it? How do we get across the judgment? He could answer it all. It's like the book of Ecclesiastes. Wherever you go for answers under the sun, says Solomon, in this world, you always hit the wall of death. And death makes everything meaningless because everything you've lived for, worked for, dreamed of gets the ultimate crash when you die. And so Solomon keeps pointing to the answer. It's not under the sun. It's above the sun. It's in God. And the full answer is given when Jesus Christ comes in the flesh. And it's interesting how Paul says, how he describes God's wisdom in this way, in 1 Corinthians 1. We preach Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You really want to meet the wisdom of God. He talked about the lilies. He talked about the sparrows. He had a breadth of wisdom. But you find it in his death, Christ crucified and risen from the dead. And brothers and sisters, there's the answer to life's deepest sorrows and problems and fears. Jesus' death is the ultimate answer to every question, every issue, every fear, and every trouble we face. Every evil we have to go through. Through Christ crucified and risen from the dead, reigning on high, bringing every believer to glory. You've got it licked. It's not that it's the quick fix. No, Jesus at his time will bring us through the trouble and bring us through glory. But it's the real fix. It's the ultimate fix. He's got it. By his death on the cross, he overcame death and judgment. By his resurrection on Easter morning, he brought life and immortality to light. Now, is there anything more than that we really need when you've got that? You really have everything. It's amazing when you listen to God's people talk about their problems. And some problems are really deep and bring lots of sorrow and are really gut-wrenching, how they find in Jesus their hope. In Jesus, not only can I get through this, but glory is coming. There's more than enough to him in him to overcome everything I face. In Solomon and in the greater than Solomon, we meet the matchless wisdom of God. And notice how she not only saw or heard his wisdom, but in verse 6, she saw his wisdom in the house he built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attendants of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord. Like Jesus was mighty both in words and in works. She saw his political wisdom, his administrative and organizational wisdom, his economic wisdom, the wisdom of his art and architecture and clothing design, the wisdom of a society of peace and order. But you know, the final thing that took her breath away was the wisdom of the burnt offerings. Have you ever noticed that in this passage? When she saw the burnt offerings that he brought to the temple, then she fainted. It's the last thing on the list. Then she fainted. What does this mean? Oh, you can imagine Solomon explaining. We deserve to die for our sins. But God has offered a substitute to die in our place. And that's the meaning of the burnt offering. All my sin and judgment, dear queen, have been put on the Lamb of God. This is just a type. The real Messiah is still coming. And I am forgiven, and I'm right with God, and I have peace, and I have eternal life. And she said, that answers my deepest need. How can I get rid of my sin? How can I get rid of my guilt? How can I be right with God? How can I have peace, real peace with God? How can I have life with God? How can I destroy the death that's coming to me? How can I overcome the judgment? It's in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then she fainted. That was like wisdom that blew her away. And brothers and sisters, only God's people have this wisdom. Only the name of Christ has this wisdom how to answer these biggest, deepest, most pressing problems of life, of sin, of judgment, of peace with God, and eternal life instead of death. There is no other name, says Peter. There is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. You've got to go 1,000 miles to Jerusalem, to this throne, this king. It's the only place in all the world to get the answer. And that's true whether you're struggling with sin, struggling with assurance, struggling with being alone, struggling with conflict in your marriage and family, struggling with the business, struggling with temptation, struggling with financial fears and worries, struggling with paranoia, whatever it might be, he's the cure. He's the answer. Let him take your breath away by coming to listen to him and putting all your issues before him and hearing him and seeing him. And he will bless you. As the hymn says, come, and for every grief in Jesus you will find a sure and safe relief, a loving friend and kind. Amazing love, how can it be that God, my Lord, should die for me? It's truly amazing that God in Christ has answered our every need in him so that we lack nothing. Again, not the quick fix, but come to him, listen to him, trust in him, follow him, and his grace and mercy and his strength and faithfulness, his beauty and gentleness will take your breath away, and he will lead you to glory, to a place where there's no more sighing, no more sorrow, no more sin, no more sickness, no more death, no more worry, just peace. Well, then we see, thirdly, she praised Solomon's God. Look at verse 6, and she said to the king, I love her testimony, after encountering the wisdom of God and fainting, it's like she revives and she says, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom, but I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And now that I've seen it, I didn't hear the half of it. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report that I heard. Happy are your men, happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. First, she praises God, verse 8, for the happiness of the people who get to live under such a king. Solomon, I've got a lot of subjects, a lot of people, citizens living in my land in Sheba. But when I see the wisdom you have, and the peace and order and happiness in your land, your people are blessed who get to live under such a king and to be able to go and listen to him at any time and hear his wisdom. The point is for us today living in the new covenant, do you realize how happy we have it? How happy we have it that we get to live under King Jesus, the man of perfect wisdom and blessing, gentleness. Reminded of Psalm 18, where David says to God, in the midst of persecution, your gentleness has made me great. Your gentleness has lifted me up, exalted me. Christians are the happiest people on the earth. We're rich in Christ. We have peace with God. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the forgiveness of all our sins. We have eternal security. It's a happiness that's ours even in a world of trouble. That's why Paul can say, from prison, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say it, rejoice. Too often in the midst of the mess, we lose the sight of Christ and the happiness we have in him, and we become sour and petty and quarrelsome. And God is telling us here through the words of Queen of Sheba, happy are you to live in the presence of such wisdom, the wisdom of King Jesus, and to have him as your shepherd and guide and governor and guard all the time. Second blessing, she praises God for his great love for his people. Look at verse 9. I love this verse too. Blessed be the Lord your God, Solomon, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he has made you king. When I see how he has delighted in you and made you, given you wisdom and made you Israel's king, I can see how much he loves Israel. Israel, he must love you so much to give you such a great king and to put such wisdom in front of you. You must be a favored people of God. Step forward almost 1,000 years to Jesus. Isaiah 42 says of Jesus, God says of Jesus, you're my chosen one, the one in whom my soul delights. He sent Jesus in the fullness of time in our flesh. And he said of him, this is my beloved son. With him I'm well pleased. I delight in him. Jesus is God's perfect son. God loves him infinitely and eternally and delights in him forever with infinite delight. And he says to us, this one of my delight, I want to have you to have as your king. What, me? A rebel? Wayward? Fighting with God? Wanting my own way? Self-centered? And you're going to give up your son for me and die for me and rise for me and now reign over me? How loved you are, people of God, is the Queen's message to us. You are so loved to have such a great king that God delights in to put over you. And when you feel that you're not loved by God, and when you feel unloved, remember in the person and work of Jesus how much God really loves you. And then the third thing, she lavishes gifts upon the king. Verse 10, then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the Queen of Sheba gave to the king. And we offer our lives to him who first loved us, not to repay him, but to praise him for his great love. It's the overflow of the heart. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Stand amazed, people of God, at your king today. If she would travel 1,000 miles on camel, how much more who have him so near to us in the covenant of grace, as near as the word, as near as the ministry of the church of Jesus, how much should we then not sit at his feet, hear him, pour out our souls to him, and stand amazed and be living a life of praise and thanksgiving every day. May God bless us with that hunger for Christ, that we may rejoice in him daily, in the word, but also at the table. Amen.